It's okay. I thought I was actually going to be able to do this, even though I was grabbing diapers.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. Julian Nagelsmann continued his great start to life at Bayern Munich over the past week, grabbing his first Champions League win with his new club in a 3-0 rout of Barcelona, and then smashing VfL Bochum 7-0 over the weekend. The Bavarian machine seems to be firing on all cylinders, but you have to wonder if that's a true indicator of Bayern's form, or if it's simply a result of facing weak opposition. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about that and more with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello, everybody.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Like I said, it's been a great week for Bayern fans. A little bit more than a week, I guess. But first, going to Barcelona, winning 3-0, keeping a clean sheet, and getting a big win despite really not playing anywhere near Bayern's best. And then obviously over the weekend, Bayern were very much at their best in a 7-0 win over Bochum. And before we, you know, kind of talk about whether this is Bayern in great form or if it's a lack of competition or a mixture of both, I just want to kind of throw out a bit of an open-ended question. You know, what has stood out to you in these past two matches? And Garrett, I think it's been a while since you've been back on, so I'll come to you first. You know, what has stood out about Bayern and the way they've been playing over the past couple of matches?
I think just for me, it seems to be some level of consistency, especially defensively, and then also just everyone seems to be getting more and more comfortable with each other. I think those are the kind of the big things that stand out. And I just think that, you know, a lot of the guys that we're kind of used to see play well are just really gelling real well, and Leroy Sané is starting to kind of find his groove, which is really encouraging and just really exciting when you think about how relatively, you know, for all, you know, Tim's disappointment and how they played defensively last year, they're a good team. So to see them improving and seemingly playing more consistent, gelling defensively, I think those are all the things that have stood out to me and been the most encouraging. And then obviously, like you guys talked about, just the rise of Jamal Musiala, that is definitely a huge exciting encouragement, all the E words. And so those are the things I'm going to really draw from.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you talked about defensive stability, and I think the fact that Bayern were able to keep two clean sheets is a big one. But Sebastian, go ahead. What has stood out to you?
I think you could kind of argue that it kind of amounts to the same, but I guess I see it from a slightly different perspective. I would say I felt like everybody has been pulling their weight right now. Like it has not been the same players keeping this together, because there are just your usual suspects, kind of like Lewandowski and Musiala and Kimmich and Goretzka to an extent and Davies. Those have been the players you could usually rely on to be the guys who make this work and help us win those games. But I think over these two games, there were different players who really shone and who really looked very well. And I think this is what's going to decide how successful this team is going to be. If we're just relying on the usual suspects having very good games and making sure we win, this is going to be tough because they cannot always be as great as they can be. But yeah, when everybody is doing their part, this is where our success lies, I would say. And I really liked seeing that, because especially the players that hadn't looked so great have been pretty good this time. Sané, of course, is the prime example here. Also, I liked Upamecano to really step it up a bit more. I mean, we weren't like quite not like unhappy with him, really, but I didn't feel like he was really reaching his potential. And yeah, this has kind of changed, and I really hope we can keep that up.
Yeah, you talked about Leroy Sané, and I'm glad you did, so I didn't have to be the first one to bring him up, but I think you bring up a really good point. Everybody's pulling their weight. It's not like one person is carrying the team. Sané, Gnabry, all the other guys that you would also expect. Everyone's really hit form at the right time, it seems. Sané, Gnabry, they're both tracking back really well. They're contributing offensively. It looks like the back line is starting to click. So, yeah, it's really looking good for Bayern at the moment. And so, Tim, now you get to answer the sort of tough question. Is this more Bayern actually looking good, or just a result of them not facing a super, super tough competition in the past few games?
Yeah, I imagine it's a bit of both. I think we were fortunate to face, you know, this Barcelona side in the same way that, like, we were fortunate to face the Barcelona side last time. Like, they've been on the decline for a number of years. I think it's kind of ever since that, I think it was ever since the Roma game, like 3-4 years ago, where Manolas scored that header from the corner. They've always kind of looked strong, but very fragile. And so I think, like, Bayern they've come up against this supposed giant in Europe at the right time. You know, we've spoken before about the kind of like mental fragility of Dortmund at times. And yeah, we're facing a team in the fifth division in the cup in Bremer. And yeah, you know, you get lucky with some of these draws. Like, it's good that, you know, well, it's not good, but like it's lucky that Bayern can face a team without Messi, Suarez and Neymar, or you know, you don't get drawn against like Frankfurt or Gladbach or Dortmund, like in the early stages of the cup. Like, it's very fortunate in that sense. So in that regard, yeah, it's probably an element of we've had quite favorable opposition, but at the same time, we're winning games in a way that we should be. You know, the game against Bremer in the cup, I would have taken, you know, like 5-0. I think that's like respectable. But the fact that it was so resounding, it was 12. Is it a tie for like the highest, for like the largest winning winning margin in a cup game? I think something like that. If it wasn't a tie, would have only been like one or two shy of it. But it's a matter of taking this opportunity in front of, you know, a downed opposition in the form of a fifth division team or a team that's managed worse than some fifth division teams in the form of Barcelona, and they have capitalized. It hasn't been a matter of, okay, well, you know, let's you know, maybe we could win this. I think Bayern have gone into these games thinking, yeah, we're going to win, but at no point have they appeared to be complacent, which is something that I know I've been very, very aware of in the last, I guess, like maybe like last 8 or 9 years. Bayern have a tendency to kind of take their foot off the pedal at times. They like lose concentration, they give up a chance, and then they accidentally give up another chance, and so on and so forth. So yeah, I think to answer your question, I think it is a bit of both. I think it is, they've been playing teams that aren't quite at the right level, but Bayern have been performing at the level that is expected of them, if not exceeding that. I think, you know, we were just mentioning it about the defensive frailties of last year. It's so great to see that Bayern can win without conceding, and at times it really didn't even look like they were close to conceding. Obviously, you know, Bochum are—I think they're newly promoted, I believe. They aren't exactly going to cause much of a threat going forward, but there have been so many times that Bayern have faced newly promoted teams and have given up goals. Was it Bielefeld last year where we gave up 3 goals, end up drawing 3-3? You know, this isn't something that should be taken for granted, and I don't think Bayern are doing that, and that makes me very, very happy.
We're very recently just lost to a second division club in the Pokal, so yeah, I mean, they really can't be taking these teams lightly. And so to be able to take a team, any Bundesliga team, and win by 7 goals, you got to be encouraged by that. And like you said, Tim, the fact that, you know, as long as I've ever been a Bayern fan, it's been a problem that you always have to worry about Bayern just kind of deciding, yeah, that's enough, and stopping the attack and letting teams back into it. And that's honestly hasn't even really been a thought thus far this season. And granted, I mean, we're early in the season and anyway, and then on top of that, early in the season with international breaks, everything is very choppy, but there's just so much to like about what we're seeing from Bayern, regardless of who Bayern are playing against. They're taking care of business, and they're doing it in a fashion that is convincing. They're beating the teams that they should beat, the way that they should beat them, and that's all you can hope for at this point.
Yeah, I think any Bayern fan will be well familiar with this whole complacency thing. And you brought up, Garrett, the Pokal exit last year. And I think that's a perfect example to show that this was something that we were even talking about underneath or when Hansi Flick was a manager of Bayern. And so, Sebastian, do you think maybe this is something that Nagelsmann himself has noticed and maybe taken steps to address now that he's come in and taken charge of the team?
Maybe yes, but I would also would want to put in a word of caution here, because I think it's kind of easier at the beginning, because when you start there as a new coach, you get this feeling of it being a new start and everybody seeing this as an opportunity to, really put in the best effort, because there are no grudges and there are no problems like with a coach you don't have this issue with a coach that has been there for like 2 years or 3 years or something like that, because there are just problems that accumulate and never get completely resolved, and things are just not as new as they used to be anymore. So I would say that Nagelsmann is probably in a good position at the beginning of his time at Bayern to kind of avoid these issues. And the real test is going to be whether he can make sure that these problems don't creep back in. I guess this is the actual task here. But I would argue that Nagelsmann might be a guy that's just generally good at dealing with this stuff. I think that could be one of his strengths for when we look at how he's done at his earlier clubs. So I would say this is a possibility that he's actually just very good at this, but I'm just not ready to completely trust that, really. So I guess we'll have to wait and see about that. This is just much too early for that. Like, give it another year at least, and I guess then we can really judge that.
I think you have to give Nagelsmann some credit to come in and not really skip a beat, at the very least. But I think you're right, Sebastian. I think that early on is when it's maybe the easiest to implement everything that he's trying to implement. I think that one of the things you can't discount about how Bayern have come together is the fact that there really weren't too many signings in the offseason. There hasn't been a whole lot of change other than some guys leaving that were on their way out anyway. And so you have a lot of your newish core group really starting to get used to playing together. I think we can point to how Nagelsmann's been using Leroy Sané and say, you know, that could be a Nagelsmann thing, but I think we have that much longer of Kimmich and Goretzka playing together with Müller and Lewandowski's partnership being as good as it always has been. You have more guys coming off the bench, and you're not skipping a beat. And so I think this continuity, and even the guys that came in, you know, you got Upamecano and now Sabitzer, who are used to playing with each other anyway, and used to playing with Julian Nagelsmann. So I think there's just a lot of continuity, and I think that that's certainly isn't hurting what we're seeing out of Bayern.
Talking about this idea of continuity, one area where we've seen basically a new partnership every game has been at in the back at defense. And so when Bayern went and they played Bochum this past weekend, it was Lucas Hernandez on the at left center back with Niklas Süle playing right center back. I believe against Barcelona, it was Süle and Upamecano, and Pavard had come in to play right back. Before that, it was Leipzig, and against Leipzig, it was Lucas Hernandez at left center back, Upamecano at right center back, and then Pavard again at right back. And Alphonso Davies has definitely locked down the left back position. But it sort of brings us to the question, you know, if you were Julian Nagelsmann, where do you think you would settle on your first choice defensive pairing right now, right? Who has played the best for you at center back? Because I think last year we would never have thought we would say Niklas Süle, but he's been playing really, really well in my opinion this year. But Upamecano has come in and fit in quite nicely. Lucas Hernandez, now that he's back from injury, I think most people would say is our best defender. So Tim, what do you think is our current best back line? And I really want to frame this in light of something Benjamin Pavard said earlier today. He talked about how he would prefer in the future to play more centrally and less at right back, which I don't think any of us here would be opposed to. But what's your preferred starting back four, and how does Pavard fit into that?
my preferred back four, I think currently, I don't have a problem with Stanisic. I think he's clearly very gifted. He's not world class. Like, he's not going to be getting into the FIFA World 11 anytime soon. But at the same time, he's very new to the side, very new to senior football. I believe that the step up between playing for the second team and playing for the senior team is significant. He doesn't really seem to have been too fazed by that. Not quite in the same way that someone like Jamal Musiala has like really taken to it, but he's done it to an extent where when I see him on the team sheet, I'm not immediately thinking, well, that's a weak spot right there. Like, he's capable. And I think that's really all I can ask for at this stage. So I think he'd probably be like my starting right back at this point. Alphonso Davies, obviously left back. That's not really up for debate. I really like Omar Richards. I think I'm really excited to see more of him. I think what we saw of him against Bochum, he was given a run out for about 45 minutes. He looks really eager, like willing to kind of like throw himself into a challenge, like desperate to go forward as well. So I like having him as an option is really excellent. But obviously, like, I'd like to see more of him in the future. But the way that Davies has been playing this season has been probably the best I've ever seen him. Like, he is... Davies really announced himself in, like, the... I guess, like, in Flick's first season in charge, where he took over in November. That was, like, the first few games there were really exciting, and he just kind of kept doing that. What he's doing now is really impressive, kind of at like the, maybe like at a slightly higher rate, because he's like fully involved in the attack. I remember seeing some people saying like, oh, he's not going to be able to work out very well, like for Nagelsmann, because like can't really cross, like he's not really good at passing or whatever. He's not somebody that I think needs to get an assist every single week, or like he needs to get on the scoreboard. Like, he's a fantastic fullback in so much as he's a valuable asset to the attack, whilst also being very secure coming back as well on defense. I think he's so great, and what he's done this season is truly remarkable. In the middle, though, I really have no idea. I guess at the moment my instinct says Upamecano and Niklas Süle. But that's not to discredit Hernandez, because I think Hernandez clearly is a fantastic defender. I think I saw a stat where every time he started for Bayern we haven't lost. I would have really liked to have seen more of him last season, in particular around the games against Paris. I do think that he would have been a much more valuable centre-back than David Alaba and Jerome Boateng. But again, that ship has sailed and I need to stop dwelling on the past. I do think he has a lot more to offer to the team. I think he's a great person to have in the squad. But just going on what I've seen so far, I really like the partnership of what Upamecano's done coming into this team brand new. And also Nicolas Sula, like re-establishing himself. And I don't know if we'll talk about it a bit later, but his contract extension is something that is going to become a talking point for Bayern fairly soon. And the way that he's been playing, I'm all for it. I think he's done really, really well. I guess, like, to answer your question, where does Benjamin Pavard fit into this? I've never been overly fond of him. He's not really the sort of right back that I like. I do feel like him being more defensive minded and not really helping the attack all that much did kind of hinder some of the performances from Gnabry and Sané last season. As for like him being in the middle, I don't know. I'd pick Upamecano, Hernandez, Sula, and probably Nianzou over Pavard at this stage. But maybe that's just me being biased. Somebody else has a different opinion. But yeah, that's kind of how I see it at this particular moment. But obviously, that could change in a few weeks.
Well, I guess it's probably really the worst time for Pavard to like think, okay, but I would rather like to be a center back right now, because the way it used to be, there always was someone who was injured and someone who was not playing so well, and there were just a lot of issues, and we were thinking about getting a better right back, but now we didn't get a better right back, really. We have Stanisic, and I agree that Stanisic is probably about as good as Pavard right now. I don't see much of a difference in their performance recently, and while Pavard probably has the better performances historically, Stanisic probably has the better perspective for the future. He could still like make another major step that I don't see coming for Pavard as a right back. But yeah, so there's no better right back there, so he could be quite safe in keeping his right back spot. And also, we probably never had three center backs playing that well and all being able to play at the same time, and also have another guy there who's also pretty good and we like a lot. So yeah, probably not the right time for Pavard to decide to want to become a center back like full time. I don't think that's a good idea.
No one's gonna say that their preferred back four is a back three.
Mm. Go on.
No way.
I didn't realize it was a trick question. No.
I don't think that my preferred back four is a back three necessarily, but I do really want to see it. I want to see Sula and Upamecano and Hernandez all playing in the back as a back three with Alphonso Davies playing kind of a left wing back. And I'd love to see Serge Gnabry as a right wing back. And then you have Musiala ahead of him and Leroy Sané ahead of Davy. Like, that would be, like, in theory, in my head, like, that sounds awesome. So that would be cool to see. But I think largely I agree with you guys. If I have to pick a back four, I think Sula and Upamecano are kind of the pick for me, primarily because we got Stanisic on the right. I think that he's probably our best option right now at right back. And so I want to put Nicolas Sula kind of over there to kind of add a little bit more stability over there, since he's played right back, obviously, and he can kind of shade that way and add some muscle and some speed over there to help out Stanisic as he will have his growing pains. That being said, like you guys have mentioned, it's an amazing problem to have, another center back that you would feel perfectly fine sticking in at any moment. And Hernandez, and then actually, you know, even if you went, I think you have to go up with Meccano. I think it's really between Hernandez and Sula for where the question mark is. I don't think you can go wrong either way.
Tim, I'm going to come back to you because you brought up this topic earlier about Nicolas Sula with his contract extension. And there's been a lot of news around that recently with, you know, his contract expires at the end of the year, but most of the news has been that Bayern are apparently keeping their eyes on Antonio Rudiger from Chelsea, whose contract also expires at the end of the year. And so I guess my question for you would be, would Bayern not be better just doing what they can to re-sign Sula rather than going after Antonio Rudiger?
Yeah, I'm more in favor of keeping than replacing. I think Rudiger's good. I think he's a fine defender, and has like really, really taken a step forward under Thomas Tuchel. And I feel like Nagelsmann can have that sort of impact on a player's career as well. But we've already got a guy. Like we have Nicolas Sula, who, you know, as Gareth alluded to, can also very comfortably play as a right back, to the point where you're kind of thinking, this is just a joke that's got out of hand. He's actually doing quite a good job of this. What's going on? I would love to actually see Nicolas Sula play right back more frequently. I'd also love to see him play up front, but that's my own pipe dream. I think Antonio Rudiger is a really good defender. I think Chelsea fans really like him, and they've certainly warmed to him in the past season or two. But I can't really see any benefit. I can't really see what he would be an immediate improvement on with a player that we already have. I think if you're going to replace anybody for like a like for like, then there has to be, okay, we'll get rid of this guy, but we'll get him in because he can do X, Y, Z. I don't really think there's anything that Rudiger can do that Sula can't do, especially if he keeps on putting in really great performances like he's done over the past few weeks. And especially considering he has slightly more versatility. Well, I think like Rudiger's played as a fullback a couple of times in his career. I think he's played as like a right back for Germany a few times as well. But yeah, I'm more in favor of extending Sula than picking up Rudiger. Not to besmirch Rudiger. I do think he's very capable and very competent. But yeah, we've already got the guy.
Just out of interest, would Garrett or Sebastian, would either of you be in favor of replacing Sula with Rudiger? Or would you agree with Tim, just stick with Sula?
I guess I kind of end up agreeing. I totally agree that Rudiger really made huge steps like in the last of the last like year, or maybe even a bit earlier than that. I really like him as a player, but it's at this point it's really hard to swap like one of our three kind of youngish center backs for one that's 2 years older than the oldest of the three, which is Sula. Sula just has a couple of more good years in front of him. So I guess I really like Rüdiger, but he's kind of, I think he's kind of a mix between Upamecano and Hernandez. So we would also like lose a bit of variety. We would lose a bit of versatility there. Because our three center backs would then be more similar, way more similar than they were before, because he kind of has that that aggressiveness that Hernandez has, but also a lot of the physicality that Upamecano brings, like more in terms of like athleticism, I guess I want to say, not the sheer like size that Sula has. So I don't think it's, even from that perspective, it's probably not the right choice, even if I think it's a great player, and I would probably have him starting for the German national team. But yeah, ultimately I would rather keep Süle. And maybe he would. I would like him even more if he could like become more of a new Lucio for us, using his talents on offense, like more through the middle, like Lucio did. But maybe just football in the 20s is maybe just not made for that anymore, because it just doesn't sit right with me, him playing as a right back. But I guess that's more my problem. I would still rather keep him.
Yeah, I actually really like seeing Nicolas Sulinho sometimes playing right back. So I'm definitely aboard the keep Süle as opposed to Rüdiger train. But while we're talking about contract extension, since we've last spoken, Leon Goretzka has finally extended his contract at Bayern Munich, or at least it's finally been made public. And so it's really fitting that we have Garrett on here to talk about this, because, you know, Garrett, this is your guy. So how excited should we as fans really be about this? I mean, it seems like between him and Kimmich, who just signed an extension as well, and also Bayern signing Sabitzer, it really seems like we should be set in the midfield for years. So is this worth, you think, celebrating almost as much as a big transfer, Garrett?
Yeah, that obviously we should all be very excited. We got the guy that makes kind of this whole thing work. That's a little bit of hyperbole, but as far as, you know, once Goretzka started kind of establishing himself as the guy to partner with Joshua Kimmich, Bayern took off. And so to be able to lock him in and lock in that partnership, which, you know, I will continue to believe is the best midfield duo in the world right now, can only be a good thing. And with given Julian Nagelsmann's track record of developing midfielders, I'm just ecstatic over the prospect of Joshua Kimmich and Leon Goretzka playing side by side and kind of playing behind Müller or eventually Musiala. There's just to be able to shore that up, to shore up the middle of the pitch, I don't think you can overstate how important that is. And it's got to be. I don't know if I would say it's as good as a new signing, because you're still going to have a level of excitement and what could be when you have an unknown quantity, but it probably is more important than a new signing. And I know that I said earlier when it looked like there was potential they might not get him signed or they might sell him or what have you. I mean, I think anybody, if you don't want to lose him on a free. So that's kind of where I was coming from beforehand when I talked about, you know, just maybe sell him off if you're to the point where you're on their last year of their contract and you still haven't signed them. I kind of tend to side towards just selling them and getting what you can for them. But obviously getting a guy of Goretzka's caliber who still has a ton of potential, who's only going to grow into that role, this is one of the bigger signings that we could hope for, you know, second to obviously extending Kimmich, I think. So yeah, I mean, big day, big moment for the Goretzka fan club. I guess we should start making t-shirts.
I think you bring up a really good point. I think one thing that it shows, especially with Kimmich and Sabitzer being thrown in there as well, is just the longevity that our midfield now has, and that the club has taken intentional steps to nail down the center, nail down a good core. And Joshua Kimmich is obviously a future captain at this club, and so signing him was huge. But I think Leon Goretzka is also very much a leader in the squad, and so it was a big deal to, I think it's a very big deal to get him into, to extend him. I think it's going to be huge for the club. But let's talk about the game that we have coming up on Friday. Now, Sebastian, I'm going to have to ask for your help because I'm not entirely sure the best way to pronounce the club that we're facing on Friday. I would say Greuther Fürth, maybe, but you got to let me know. Is that how you say that?
That was all right. The first part was pretty correct. The second part, not quite. It's Greuther Fürth.
Ah.
So the Greuther part, I think that was pretty good. The Fürth, it's like a U. So the umlaut, that's a bit higher than a U. And with a rounded lips, basically. And then the TH is just a T.
Ah, I see. Well, I've got a little bit of work to do there. But on Friday, Bayern do play. I'm just going to call him Greuther for now. And it looks like, as of right now, Leroy Sané is Bayern's only fit winger heading into this game. Jamal Musiala took a knock in practice. I think Serge Gnabry is ill. He might be back, but it's not looking very positive. And so Greuther are obviously not the most difficult opponents we're going to face this season. So do you think Julian Nagelsmann uses this as a time to change the system a little bit, to try out something new? Maybe he throws in Marcel Sabitzer as, a right winger, maybe even a little bit of both, giving Sabitzer his first start, changing the system a little bit. Yes, Sebastian, I'm just curious, what do you think the best approach from Nagelsmann in this game is?
So I'm quite sure that this will give Sabitzer his first start. I think I'm pretty confident that this is going to happen, and I think that's a good idea. He deserves his first start. I guess this is probably the right time. The interesting question actually is, what will this look like? What is the lineup going to be? I would be kind of interested to see Sabitzer kind of as a wingback. Like, that would be interesting. I would like to see whether that works. Because if that would work, that would really be great. I mean, when you got a player who can play defensive midfield, but also right wing, there's really no reason why that player shouldn't also be able to be a pretty decent wingback. So I would really like to experiment with that. I'm not sure if Nagelsmann is actually going to dare doing this. But I think it could be very, very interesting, especially if you also have Kimmich on the field, because Kimmich is also, of course, a pretty, pretty good wingback or right back. So this could be like very versatile. You could just have those players switch positions without losing anything. So this could be very exciting. I think more likely would be that we have a normal lineup with a four-man back line, and that we have Sabitzer probably on the right wing, and then we get like changing positions with Müller and maybe also with Goretzka. So Goretzka sometimes going to the 10, Müller sometimes going to the right, Sabitzer sometimes going further to the back. It could also be interesting. I mean, it's not quite as exciting as the other option, I would say, but still very interesting, in my opinion. I guess this is what I see as the most likely one. And my preferred one would be what I described before.
Tim, any thoughts on a sort of change of shape from Julian Nagelsmann this weekend?
Yeah, just thinking about playing Sabitzer as a right wing back, I think he has like the right profile to take on that responsibility and kind of take to it like water. I think as far as players go, he's this is going to sound ridiculous. He's nothing like him, but there are a number of similarities that I see to Joshua Kimmich, in so much as he's somebody that's really eager to get forward and help the attack, but still has that relentless and like quite tenacious ability in midfield, to so much so that you can play him in one of the defensive midfield positions. So yeah, I think as Sebastian says, like when you have somebody that can play as a defensive midfielder, that can also play as like wide right, being able to potentially play him as a right wing back would be would be really, really great. I think like due to like the I don't want to say squad deficiencies, but I guess like the injuries and the problem that Nagelsmann will have in the next next week or so, there is going to be like, this is probably going to be the first real big challenge that he has, where he has to think, how can I play a brand of football that works for me when I don't have these guys? Like, he's been thrown a curveball and now he has to like think creatively. My mind goes back to like the start of the 2015-16 season, where in the first few games in the Bundesliga, Pep Guardiola played it was something between like a 3-4-3 and a 3-3-3-1, which is like quite heavily inspired by Marcelo Bielsa. So the second row of threes in front of the centre backs, you've got like the defensive midfielder in the middle, and then the two guys either side of him. I believe it was Philipp Lahm and Arturo Vidal. Obviously, one of them is like, it was like a natural fullback. The other one was just somebody that could do pretty much anything that was asked of him. I think if there was ever a time to take a look at that, it could be this. I think Sabitzer could do really, really well in this kind of weird, not quite wing back, but maybe like a central wing back. I don't know. I need to play around with like lineup builder and see what sort of backwards concoctions I can come up with. But yeah, I'd love to see Sabitzer start. I'd love to see a back three. This is one of the things that I was excited for with Niko Kovac, somebody that was like a regular proponent of using a three-man defense, and we never really saw it. And Nagelsmann similarly loves to play with a three-man back line. So this is going to be, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm hoping, I'm just hoping for a victory, really. But if there's going to be some exciting changes, then that's even better.
Yeah, I think that this would be given the situation, be a pretty good one to try some things out, especially since it almost kind of does seem like Julian Nagelsmann doesn't have much of a choice. One more thing before we wrap this one up. And Garrett, you finished first in Fantasy Bundesliga this past weekend. Sebastian, I think you finished like second 3 weeks in a row now. So I'm just wondering if you, either of you have any tips for me or for any of the listeners as to how you've made such an improvement this year in the Fantasy Bundesliga. One of you has to shower us with your wisdom.
My answer is pretty simple. I just threw all my principles overboard and bought Lewandowski and Haaland. So this is my whole secret, I believe. This is all I did differently, because I just didn't want to have those players. And well, this year I thought, well, I don't know, I can just buy them and not never think of it again, because it's just very simple and it's worth a lot of points. So that's what I did.
For me, it's just the grace of God just giving me some fortune here and getting some guys doing well, at least for 1 week. And I've been doing okay. I think actually the biggest thing that helped me was figuring out the whole ability to sub guys in and out and still be able to change, you know, what player you star.
Yeah.
That actually made a huge, huge difference, because then it's like, oh, well, I want to make sure I have some guys, if I can, make some guys that are playing late, you know, in the week. And so if I have a defender that only scores 2 points, I can take him out and put a new guy in and, you know, hey, maybe I'll get 4 points or, you know, something like that. So I don't know, just little things like that. But don't want to give away too many secrets,
right?
Because I would like to continue to be in the top 10 and not like down in the 20s or 30s like I was last year.
Right. Well, I haven't finished above 4 on a single match day yet, but somehow I've worked my way up into 3rd place. And like you said, the three of us are in the top 10. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about where Tim's team is. That's not really the point of this right now.
What are you playing?
We don't got to talk about it.
I have a team.
Yeah.
It's very passive. I signed up.
You signed up. There you go.
Yeah,
participation
that's trophy. I can only say that's the only thing I can say with any confidence. I certainly joined.
Yeah. Well, if you enjoy playing Bundesliga Fantasy already, please feel free to join our league. If you don't, it's a lot of fun. It's really simple. You just set your lineup every week, and we have a good time with it. But that is all the time that we have for this episode. So if you are if you've enjoyed listening today, if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a few ways that you can do that. You can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com, or you can follow us over on Twitter at superbayernpod and keep up to date with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.